Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Matter Teaching Ministry. I'm so happy to have you in the audience tonight. I thank God for you. I just love you in the name of Jesus. I give you the blessings from the Lord on high. And we have a message tonight that God has put on our heart. And the name of the message is dealing with eternal life and being redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things that you don't hear people talk about anymore in the church, and the Lord deals with me about those things because I got saved at a time where we used to sing songs about things like being redeemed, songs like the rapture. You know, I'm looking for him to return. We used to use the word Maranatha a lot back in the 70s and in the 80s. People used to say Maranatha, which means come soon, Lord Jesus. And you have to wonder sometimes why the enemy has cheated us out of these blessings. Amen. And Maranatha is a blessing because it means come soon, Lord Jesus. And I used to wonder when I was a babe in the Lord, how in the world, why would somebody want to say come soon, Lord Jesus, you know, because that's like saying I'm ready to go back to be with him. I'm ready to leave this world. And when you're a babe, you don't understand those type of things. But when you come to maturity in God, hallelujah, when you grow up in him, hallelujah, you no longer need milk, amen, but you're feasting on the word, praise God, you can begin to understand spiritual things, hallelujah, because the Bible says you compare spiritual things with spiritual things, praise God, when you are mature in him. Praise God. And, you know, I was just thinking tonight before we get into the word about things like the rapture, being redeemed, like the redeemed of the Lord say so. You never hear anybody saying too much about that, too much in church. Most of the Christian stations on TV and radio, you don't hear a lot about that. You know, and you might hear it at some little small church sometimes. I don't know because I'm not everywhere, but I just know from what I see and from what I talk to people a lot, and, you know, I'm on Facebook and I talk to people, and, I mean, I just fellowship in the body, and I never hardly hear people talking about the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. All you hear people talking about now is prosperity, how you can have what God wants you to have, how you can have houses and land. God doesn't want you to be poor. It's not God's will for you to be without. If you give, then God will give back to you. You know, you have to build this house, you know, and God is going to bless you. If you bless, you sow in good seed. You sow in good soil, God is going to bless. I mean, you hear a lot about giving. You hear a lot about sowing and reaping. You hear a lot about, you know, the rewards in this life, but you don't hear people talking about the next life, praise God. You don't hear people, and that's eternal life, and that is what we're talking about tonight, praise God. We are going to talk about eternal life tonight, and we're going to talk about redemption and what that means. God gave me a scripture, and I really love the scriptures, in the book of St. John, chapter 17. And in St. John, chapter 17, if you turn over there, we're going to start in the first verse. Amen. And the Bible says in St. John 17:1, this is Jesus talking. The Bible says, these words spake Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. So anytime you pray, you're supposed to be looking up to heaven. You're supposed to be talking to your heavenly Father. You have a relationship with him through prayer. Amen. And the devil's trying to cut off the lifeline of the church. The lifeline of the church is prayer, whether you know it or not. And, yes, you can have a personal, a personal relationship with him. You can enter into your closet and pray. You can know God for yourself. But there's a certain power that comes from people coming together, believers coming together, touching and agreeing, binding and loosing, Matthew 18:18. If you bind, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Jesus himself said, where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst. So it doesn't take but two or three people for Jesus to show up, amen, and to show out. Because, you know, when he comes, he's coming with all power, hallelujah. Because he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me when he arose from the dead. He said, and behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. To if you drink anything poisonous, it's not going to hurt you. Amen. To tread on serpents and scorpions. Amen. He said, I give unto you power. Amen. So the power has been given to the church to tread on serpents and scorpions and demons. Amen. And we know that this is the devil. Praise God. But let's read in John chapter 17. Jesus said, as he lifted up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may also glorify thee. Now, this is when Jesus was about to die. That's why he said, the hour has come. Praise God. But he said in verse 2, as thou hast given him power, speaking of himself, over all flesh. And this power is the word exousia, which means all power. It means like authority. And he said, thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So Jesus is the one that's giving out eternal life to as many as God has given him. This is still going on in the church today. You wonder why people can come to church and leave out the same way they came in, why some people have no desire to put God first in their life. Some people have no desire to sell out and to give up and to give up all for Jesus. It is because they are not called eternal life. You that are called to eternal life, you know that you have to give up everything to follow him. A lot of people go to church, but a lot of people are not sold out. A lot of people do not give up their all. That's why the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life, good master? Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, because he kept all the commandments. Amen. He obeyed. He said, I've obeyed all the commandments from my youth. He said, I've done everything. You know, I give. I do everything I'm supposed to do. But Jesus told him, he said, thou art not far from eternal life, because he was in the church. But, amen, he was not sold out. Praise God. So the man said, Jesus told him, he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me, and thou shalt have eternal life. This man walked away sad. This is the state of the church today. Most people in the church, if Jesus told you to sell all that you have or to go without or to put yourself in a situation where you would encounter hardship or poverty or going without to sacrifice temporarily. Now, this is just temporary. He did not say this man was going to live like this the rest of his life. He said, right now, this is what I need you to do. Amen. And the man walked away sorrowful because he had great riches. I'm telling you, Jesus said it's hard for a rich man or a woman, because he's talking about mankind. He said it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know, a camel has a hump in his back. And he was talking about the gate to the city that the camel had to hunch down to get into the gate. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the entrance or the gateway to the city than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples, when they heard this, they asked him, they said, who then can be saved? Because everybody wants riches. In other words, they said, everybody wants riches. Everybody wants to have in this life. Jesus said, in another verse, he said, there is not one of you that have not given up father, that have not given up lands, homes, family. He said, that shall not receive in this life and in the life to come eternal life. Amen. So Jesus let us know, when you give up for him and for his kingdom and for his name, whatever you give up, he said, you're going to receive that back in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. But he said, you have to be willing to give it up. He said, if you don't carry your cross daily and you don't follow me and you're not willing to give it up, he said, you're not worthy to enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about this tonight. Praise God. But the Bible says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There are many gods, false gods, little g, we talked about this before, many false gods in this world that want you to fall down and worship them. It might not be a statue or idol. It could be anything you put before God, anything that you worship, anything that takes up more of your time than you spend with God, your Heavenly Father, getting to know Him, anything that you put your time and effort into, and that's like worship. Amen. It's like a form of worship because you are giving all of your time, your energies, your mind, your soul. God said you are to love me with all of your mind, heart, soul, before anything else. That's the first commandment. He said, and the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these hang all the law and the prophets. So what he was saying was, anything that you give all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength to, that is your God. Amen. So if you, it can be either God in heaven or it can be a God on this earth. But look at what he said. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That's the key. He is the only true God. Everything everybody else is false. Jesus said, all that came before me were thieves. He said, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Amen. I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, everybody else is a hireling. He said, they came before me, they were thieves. Amen. They were hirelings. They just were in it for the money, where they can get out of it. They were fleecing the sheep. Amen. But he said, if you love me, he told Peter, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. Amen. Excuse me. So he said, a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Praise God. But he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So to know God and to know Jesus Christ, that's eternal life. Amen. So you got to know him and the pardon of your sins. That's why he told them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. You got to know him. Amen. You got to get to know Jesus. Praise God. And he said, this is life eternal. This is how you get eternal life. Amen. So he said that he may give eternal life. Let's, in verse 2, the Bible says that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, this reminds me back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And we're going to turn over that. I want you to turn over that for a minute. But in Genesis, I like to do oppositional studies sometimes. I like to look at both sides of the coin. I like to look flip the coin over sometimes and look at the opposite side of what would happen if we didn't have eternal life. And let's go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 20. And the Bible says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. We talked about this a little bit before. But in verse 22, this is starting of a new paragraph, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Talking to the Trinity, talking to God the Father. God the Father was talking to God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. He said, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. He was talking to the triune Godhead. I want you to understand that. God is a triune God. He is God, but he's one God, but he manifests himself in three different ways. Amen. The Word of God, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Nothing was created that was not created by him, because God spoke the Word, and the Word, and it happened. Amen. The Bible said, and it was. So everything God spoke in Genesis chapter 1, on to chapter 2, God spoke. That's Jesus in action, the Word of God, and the Holy started into fruition. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. You can see it right here in Genesis 3 and 22. And the Bible says, God said, the man has become as one of us, that's plural, to know good and evil. And now, least he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. This is what we're talking about tonight, the tree of life, eternal life. This is what God has laid on my heart to share with you tonight, the tree of life, and eat and live forever. So God did not want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life because they had ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil first. And he said, at least they live forever. And I just take that to mean, and I could be wrong, but you can tell me what you think if you want to later. But the Lord showed me this means lest he take from the tree of life and live forever in this state of sin. Amen. That I would just wonder, I don't think that we would ever have been able to be redeemed if the Adam had ate from the tree of eternal life, because that was reserved for the redeemed of the Lord. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But the Bible says, therefore the Lord, in verse 23, God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, paradise, to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, and it's the last verse in that chapter, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, which were angels, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard or to keep the way of the tree of life. Man was forbidden from taking from the tree of life until the plan of God was set into action at the right time when we could receive eternal life. But we were forbidden to eat from the tree of life after we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because we were not innocent anymore. We were held accountable for our sins now. And because we disobeyed God, which was the first sin, we talked about that last week, what was the original sin? And I can really see my book coming together with all of the lessons that God has given me, because it's going to be like chapter after chapter. Everything's going to fit together because it's given by the Holy Spirit. This book is going to be dynamic, I'm telling you, because I'm going to put all my messages together into one book. And God is just, I just feel the anointing when I talk about it. Praise God, I get excited. Amen. But the Bible says, we're in Genesis 3 and 24. God placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turns every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So man was forbidden to eat from the tree of life. That's the point I'm trying to make there. So we talked about that. Let's go over to, well, I just wanted to say in my notes, I put down, I wonder if they had eaten from the tree of life in the garden, would we have been able to still be redeemed from the curse of the law? Which takes me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So I want you to turn over there, Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. And the Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So we see in Genesis, God put a curse on mankind. He put a curse on the snake or the serpent, because the devil used the serpent. And he put a curse on Adam. He said, you're going to till the ground. It's no longer going to produce this good for you. It's going to produce thorns and thistles. And you're going to have to work in the sweat of thy brow. You know, for your meat, it's not going to be given to you anymore. You have to work for what you get. So he wasn't in paradise anymore. He also put a curse on the woman in childbirth, that the most beautiful thing in the world, bringing a child into this world, was now cursed with pain. He said, in pain shalt thou bring forth children. Amen. So this was a curse on women, and we know even today the pain that a woman experiences in childbirth is something that is unbearable. It's something that is not of this world almost. It's such a terrible pain. When God says something, it's to the nth degree. You know, it's like, wow, this is really terrible. Men could not deal with the pain that we endure as women. Amen. But also he put a curse on women, he put a curse on the serpent, he put a curse on Adam, amen, and put a curse on the ground because of sin, amen. So the Bible says that we were cursed because of disobedience. But look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you didn't obey the law in the Old Testament, you are under a curse. But the Bible says in verse 11, we're in Galatians chapter 3, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And this is what I want to read, verse 13. Christ have redeemed us, Christ the Son of God, have redeemed us from the curse of the law. why did he redeem us from the curse of the law? Well, it goes on in the same verse. It says, because he was made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. We know that Jesus Christ was hung on a tree. Amen. Because he had to carry the wood, the tree and the wood. He had to carry his own wood cross up the hill. So the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So they took a portion of the tree, and they used that to crucify Jesus. It was the wood from the tree. So I said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus Christ took the curse for you and I by dying on the cross. Then the Bible says in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, because we were not born Jews. We are Gentiles. The Bible said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Amen. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So he said, the blessing of Abraham, it came on us through Jesus Christ. So now the Jews have no more blessing than we get, because the Bible says there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. So when I hear people talking about the Old Testament, talking about, you know, because the Jews still believe in the Old Testament, well, you still have some Christians that believe that same way, and that is not what the Bible taught. Paul and Peter got into a big argument and a big dispute in the Bible, in the book of Acts, over the same thing, whether the Jews were to be circumcised, the Jews were to be treated differently than the Gentiles. And Paul said himself, the Lord took him for 3 years into the desert when he first got saved. He called him to go to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. God used Paul to bring the Gentiles and the Jews together in the Bible, not to bring division. Paul taught that thing, and he broke down, amen, the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. And he said, there is no more difference now between the Jew and the Gentile, amen, male or female, because those are boundaries that people put up, but God doesn't have any boundaries. God will use anyone, amen. There's no difference between male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. All are one in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul, the Lord revealed to Paul in the Word of God. But the Bible said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. I thank God for that, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So that was Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. Now I want to go over to 1 Peter 1 and 18. And we're going to start in 13 and read down through 18. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says, of our holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And I always quote that scripture. God is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. It is impossible to please God unless you are holy. Amen. That's a requirement. You cannot even see him unless you are holy. And I'm not talking about dressing on the outside, how you dress. That's the Holy Ghost is going to keep you in check about that anyway. I'm talking about your heart. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You have to be separated. That means sanctified, and holiness means the same thing. You are to be set aside for the use of God. There is to be a difference between the world and between God's people and between the children of the devil. Amen. That's all I'm saying. Be holy, for I am holy, said the Lord. And if you call on the Father, this is 1 Peter 1 and 17, who without respect of persons, we just got through talking about that. God has no respect of persons. Peter said, he judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. So he said, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, or your journey in fear, here in fear, fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. So when he's talking about fear, he's not talking about being afraid of God like we think of being afraid of something, because the Bible says fear have torment. No, he was talking about, that's why you have to go back and study the original translation, because we use the one word for four different meanings in English, in the English language. But when you study the original language that it was written in, there's just one word, and it's specifically for that particular use. That but the English, oh my God, the English, the British, when they came up with this language that came from the Latin, they just put so many things together, and one word has four or five meanings now. But that's not the way the original language was written, so it can be confusing when you don't understand the language that's being used. But anyway, the Bible said, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So when it says fear the Lord, it's talking about being afraid to do wrong. Amen. That's all it means, being afraid to do the wrong thing. I fear God because I don't want to get outside of the will of God. Amen. The Bible says some people you have to save like as with fire. That means you have to preach the gospel about hell. People don't preach about hell anymore. But there are some people that's not going to get saved unless you preach about hell. That is a whole section of people that are missing out on heaven because we are not preaching about hell. And God is going to hold the church responsible for that. Amen. But the Bible and the church leaders responsible for that. Verse 18, the Bible says, for as much then as ye know that you were not redeemed, and this is the word I want to talk about tonight, redeemed. Know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation in the past, he said, received by tradition from your father. So he was talking about the Jews right there. He said, he said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. That's all people want to talk about now, silver and gold, money, how to get more money. He said, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. That's here today. It's not, you can't. That's not eternal. The Bible says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed, the Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ in verse 19. The precious blood of Christ, amen, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So that is why John said when he saw Jesus coming, behold, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. He said we were redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without a blemish and without a spot, who verily, verse 20, was foreordained. That means all the way from eternity past, in the beginning, before time even existed, the Bible says Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And this is in 1 Peter 1 and 20. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world that you and I live in and value so much. Before the world was formed, before the foundation, he was ordained, but was manifested in these last times for you and me. So God ordered it from before the world, before he even created Adam in the garden. God knew that Adam was going to sin, and he created a way of escape even before Adam did sin. It did not take God by surprise. When he came and asked Adam, he said, where art thou? He wasn't saying because he didn't know where Adam was. He was saying that just so Adam would answer him. He said, Adam, where are you? He said, who told you that you was naked? He was trying to let him see, I want you to see, I didn't put this on you. I didn't tell you was naked. Somebody told you was naked. Did you eat from the tree that I told? Just like when you talk to your kids, did you do something I told you not to do? That's all he was saying. He was talking to them as a child, as we talk to our children. He said, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat of? Amen. And that's the same way we talk to our children. Why did you do that? I told you not to do that. Now we got to make a way of escape. Amen. That's what he was saying. He said, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat of? But Jesus Christ, in verse 1 and 20, 1 Peter, he said, Jesus Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him talking about Jesus, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. So that's 1 Peter 1:18. He said, you were not redeemed of corruptible things as silver and gold. Now, redeemed here means brought back or purchased. So God already had a plan of redemption. God already had a plan to buy us back even before we sinned. God already had a plan in action. Let's read over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. As I'm getting ready to bring this to a close, the Bible says, and they sang a new song, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Amen. So Jesus Christ was the one that was worthy to open the book and to open the seals, because he was slain, the Bible says, and he has redeemed us to God by his blood. Like I said, I like to deal with opposites. Now, there's a group of people, I'm not going to name them. Their colors are black and white. They call themselves the enlightened one, because when everything is black and white, your understanding is enlightened. That is true. That's why I like to deal in opposites. Black and white is opposite colors. I like to deal in opposites because I deal with understanding, bringing you into an understanding of the word. Amen. So in John 17:3, we talked about that. The Bible says, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's deal with two words tonight, eternal and life. And we're going to have to finish this Sunday night, because I want to try to wrap it up in the next 5 or 10 minutes, if you can bear with me. But we're dealing with eternal, the word eternal tonight, and the word life, eternal life. And let's deal with eternal first. Eternal here, and we're going to go in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. It means without beginning or an ending. It's the same word used by Jesus in Matthew 18:8. When he said, it's better for you to enter into life. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18 real quick. If you would turn with me to Matthew 18. And go down to verse 6. The Bible said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it will better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe be to that man by whom the offense cometh. Verse 8, and this is my key verse. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better, Jesus said, for you to enter into life, eternal life, that's what we're talking about tonight, life, eternal life, that's never-ending life. Remember we talked about in Genesis, the tree of life. God put an angel there to guard the way to the tree of life, because the only way we can get life is through Jesus Christ now. And the Bible says it's better for you to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That word everlasting there is the same word that's used for eternal. It means forever. There's no end to it. So everlasting life or everlasting fire. Those are the only two choices that we have. In verse 9, the Bible says, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better for you to enter into life, eternal life, with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Amen. So that's Matthew 18:8-9 and Matthew 25:41. Want to turn over there? And this is talking about life eternal as well. Let me see where we're going to start at. Let's start in verse 41. Then said he unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So here we see Jesus was telling the people on his left, depart from me, ye cursed, because I never knew you. I want to start up a little bit because I want you to see where I'm coming from, what led up to this. Let's start in verse 31. I think this is going to be the last scripture tonight because I don't want to keep you too long. But in Matthew 25:31, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations and he shall separate them. This is the part I want to read to you. He shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. So we're going to have the sheep on one side, on the right side, and the goats on the left side. And verse 33 says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Amen. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So he's going to tell us on the right hand, because I'm including myself on that side, because I'm a sheep, I'm not a goat, I'm not stubborn, I know how to follow, amen? The Bible says he's going to say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit. Now, so I have an inheritance, you have an inheritance, if you're a sheep tonight and not a goat. Inherit the kingdom. So we have a kingdom that we're going to inherit that's been prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Why? Now look at verse 35. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Remember I talked to you a little while back, about 3 weeks ago, we had a message that was talking about the church being of one accord, having all things in common. Remember that message I preached? Well, this is what he was talking about. He said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. He said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. So this is what the church is supposed to be doing. Supposed to be feeding people, especially Christians. A lot of times we go into the world and do it, but we need to do it at home. We need to do it amongst our own. We need to do it amongst believers. Because Jesus said, as we do it to one of these, one that belongs to him, we do it unto him. So we have to do it to the children of God first. He said, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. In prison and you came unto me. And he said, then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, talking about the household of faith, talking about other Christians, talking about other believers, not the unsaved people. That's where we get it wrong. The unsaved people take care of their own. We in the church are supposed to take care of the Christian believers. Amen. The Bible says, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, talking about the believers, you have come, you have done it unto me. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, for prepared for the devil and his angels. So listen to this. He says, he's going to say to the goats on the left-hand side, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, this let you know, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's a quote scripture. I quote that a lot, and it's in Matthew 25 and 41. He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat, thirsty, and you gave me no drink, a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Verse 44, then shall they answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister? That's what the word minister means. A lot of people carry the title, but it's not just a title. It's an actual job. Did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Talking about the Christians again. And these shall go away, talking about the goats on the left that did not take care of the household of faith. He said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we are so busy taking up offerings and taking up money to make ourselves rich and buy ourselves houses and lands here, but we're not trying to go out and help the Christian believers that don't have the clothes, don't have food, don't in prison, in the hospital, sick, at home. We are supposed to be ministering to other Christian believers that are doing without. We are supposed to meet the need. We're supposed to stand in the gap, not just to intercede and pray, but to actually minister of our carnal things unto the believers. Amen. Jesus said when we do it to another believer, we do it unto him, because it's, we are all in the body of Christ. That's the point I wanted to make tonight. I'm not finished, but I'm going to stop here. But I just wanted to read that, amen. I'm glad we got through with that. We're going to continue our Bible study on eternal life and on redemption. We're pretty much through with redemption, but I do want to finish talking about eternal life. So we're going to finish this on Sunday night, and I pray that you be back with me. Listen on Facebook. If you don't know, my Facebook name is Brenda Amos, A-M-O-S, Brenda Amos or Brenda Stanford Amos. You can get me like that on Facebook. Send me a friend request so I can keep you posted and updated with the broadcast, because I do load them through Facebook. I'm going to start a YouTube channel very soon where I'm going to put these messages on YouTube, and I'm also going to put them into a book format pretty soon. So it's going to be a lot of things coming out this year, amen, media-wise, to try to expand the ministry and spread the word of the gospel. Amen. So I just thank God for you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Peace and Maranatha, come soon, Lord Jesus. I'll see you again on Sunday. Good night.